Well, good morning, everybody. Great to see you guys. Always a thrill for me. I want to welcome Madison and you guys in Clinton, the guys in Starkville and Oxford. Or you might be joining us online, or maybe you're in a deer stand somewhere streaming online, Chip. I heard a story about these three guys that were standing at the gates of heaven. They asked the first guy, "Hey, what's your IQ?" He said, 140. He goes, "Wow, did you get that doctorate?" He goes, "Yep." He says, "Come on in." Next guy steps up, says, "Hey, what's your IQ?" He goes, 125. He goes, "Wow, did you get that master's?" "Yep." He said, "Come on in." Next guy steps up, says, "What's your IQ?" He goes, 80. "You get that deer?" Sorry. Last time I told that, my buddies put deer parts all over the hood of my truck. So I told that with a lot of risk today. But I'm so grateful we get to do this together. Wherever you're at, maybe you're here in town with family for Thanksgiving week. And, man, glad you're here. Thanks for making Pine Lake a part of your weekend. So grateful for you guys. And I get fired up every time I look at my calendar and see Pine Lake on my schedule. Hey, you guys know what a phobia is, right? Some of the more common ones we know about are hydrophobia. What would hydrophobia be? Yeah, fear of water. What about claustrophobia? Fear of closed-in places like MRIs and things like that. What about arachnophobia? Yeah, some of you guys knew that right off, like spiders. You're afraid of spiders. Now, I want to see if you can identify some of these very real but lesser-known phobias. We'll throw it up on the screen, and I'll ask you what it is. First of all, like isolophobia. You might know what that is. That's the fear of being alone, isolated. What about this one, agoraphobia? That's the fear of crowded public places. Aviophobia, some of you may have this. That's the fear of flying, right? What about this one? Chorophobia. That's the fear of dancing. Some of you need to have that fear. Yeah. Acleurophobia, my daughter's got this. It's the fear of cats. Calrophobia. That's the fear of creepy clowns. Trypanophobia, some of you may have this one. The fear of injections, needles. Pantherophobia, this is one for Thanksgiving week. It's the fear of mother-in-laws. That's an honest phobia, documented phobia. Omphalophobia, it's the fear of belly buttons. Some people are afraid of belly buttons. What about this one? Palatophobia, it's the fear of bald people. Homilophobia, that's the fear of sermons. What about this one? Palatohomilophobia. That's the fear of bald guys that do sermons. Yes, absolutely. Did you know there are over 536 documented and medicated phobias? And some are kind of bizarre and weird and funny, but some aren't so funny, right? I'm talking about fears that keep us from doing what we know we need to do, fears that keep us from becoming who we know we want to become, fears that just keep us stuck in patterns. So let me just ask you this weekend. Could you use less fear in your life and more peace? Is anxiety and worry and panic just keeping you from really embracing life and living full out with a heart of trust and gratitude? Let me give you one more phobia, chronophobia. You know what that is? That's the fear of the future. Anybody got that one going on? I was in a coffee shop the other day. I was kind of scrolling through my USA Today app, and there were flat screens all around the coffee shop. They were all tuned like CNN and Fox News and MSNBC. I felt like I was surrounded by bad news. They were talking about all the horrible mass shootings that went on in Vegas and Sutherland, Texas. On one screen, there was something going on about the threat of North Korea and the nuclear weapons that they're stockpiling. There was another report on another sexual abuse scandal, harassment going on, and there's political tension reports around the world in our own country, hurricanes and flooding in the Gulf, Puerto Rico, Mexico City, earthquake, tornadoes in the southeast, wildfires out in California. I mean, it was like, whoa. You ever watch the local evening news? I mean, maybe you just polished off a green salad because you're trying to eat healthier. And they come on right before the commercial break and go, "The possibility of an E. coli outbreak from locally grown kale. Some alarming findings when we come right back." And you're going, "Oh my goodness," right? And then during the commercial break, they're promoting some new prescription drug. And the disclaimer for the drug is so long, you're going, "Why would I ever take that," right? I heard a disclaimer the other day that was, it was incredibly long. It just kept going on and on and on. So I got on their website, and I downloaded, and this is just an edited version of their entire disclaimer for their prescription drug. And it's going to remain nameless, but here it is. If you, your family, or caregiver notice agitation, hostility, depression, or changes in behavior, thinking, or mood that are not typical for you, or if you develop suicidal thoughts or actions, anxiety, panic, aggression, anger, mania, abnormal sensations, hallucinations, paranoia, or confusion, stop taking blank and call your doctor right away. Also, tell your doctor about any history of depression or other mental health problems before taking blank, as these symptoms may worsen while taking blank. Some people can have serious skin reactions while taking blank, some of which can become life-threatening. These can include rash, swelling, redness, and peeling of the skin. Some people can have allergic reactions to blank, some of which can be life-threatening and include swelling of the face, mouth, and throat that can cause trouble breathing. If you have these symptoms or have a rash with peeling skin or blisters in your mouth, stop taking blank and get medical attention right away. In clinical trials, the most common side effects of blank include nausea, sleep problems, constipation, gas, vomiting. These are not all the side effects of blank. Ask your doctor or pharmacist for more information. I'm reading going, dang, could I get a prescription for fear, right? That's why I've always loved the timelessness of what Max Lucado wrote in his little book called Fearless. He said, when fear shapes our lives, then safety becomes our God. And when safety becomes our God, we worship the risk-free life. Can the safety lover do anything great? Can the risk-averse accomplish noble deeds for God, for others? No. The fear-filled life cannot love deeply because love is risky. They cannot give to the poor because benevolence has no guarantee of return. The fear-filled cannot dream wildly. What if their dreams sputter and fall from the sky? The worship of safety emasculates greatness. No wonder Jesus wages such a war against fear. You know, fear is like that bully in the middle school hallway. Remember that guy that made you think twice about going down that hallway? I mean, fear will steal your dreams, it'll dampen your passion, it will challenge your contentment levels, and it will suck the joy out of anybody's life. But here's the deal. Fear never wrote a symphony. Fear never cured a disease. Fear never won a championship. Fear never pulled a family out of poverty. Fear never pulled a country out of bigotry. Courage did that. Faith did that. Hearts that were full of gratitude, they did that. So let me ask you this. What if gratitude and not fear was your reaction to whatever you're facing these days? I mean, what if you and I could choose to throw our anxiety, our panic, our worries on God and just live with this unconditional trust and gratitude? You know, last week Chip talked about the power of gratitude. He talked about how when your heart expands with gratitude, there are all kinds of payoff. Like your relationships just get better almost instantly. Your ability to empathize with other people increases. It makes you a more joyful person. It improves your physical and your emotional health. It enables you to sleep better. It raises your self-esteem level. It makes you a more resilient person. And I might add today, it also chases away fear and anxiety. We have little kids running all over our house these days. It's a blast. I got to be a young granddad, and we got 9 little grandkids all over the place. I got to keep 3 of them this week for 4 days all by myself, day and night. Took them everywhere they needed to go. They just call me Papa Uber. That's me. I take them to soccer. I take them to school. Take them to basketball. I'm all over the place. But it was a blast. We played Legos. We got out the old school Lincoln Logs. Remember those things? And we played with those. We took a football to the playground, threw football around. It was so fun. And at night, we just read a story. And one night, we had the Winnie the Pooh book. And in that book, it says this: Piglet realized that he had a very small heart, but it was capable of holding a rather large amount of gratitude. And I thought, that's what I want, don't you? There's a super grateful guy named Paul who wrote like the back half of the New Testament. Most of those things that he wrote are letters to these brand new Jesus followers around the world in different cities. And one of the letters he wrote was a letter to a bunch of people in a place called Philippi. And he wrote this letter from a damp and dark prison cell where he was imprisoned there for his faith in Jesus Christ. And what he wrote in this letter has been an absolute game changer for me in my life. And I want to read it to you from a couple of different versions. First of all, we're going to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 from the MBT. Stress out about everything. Big stuff, little stuff. Things you can't control, things you wish you could. Things that might come true, and things that can never possibly happen. In every situation, see it as an opportunity to gripe to other people about how bad you've got it and how everybody else is cruising through life. Allow your envy and self-preoccupation to blow the problem out of proportion. Above all, never talk to God about it. He doesn't give a rip. And if you continue on this path, the anxiety that transcends all human understanding will give you ulcers, heart disease, headaches, joint pain, and lousy relationships. So rejoice and be glad. Like I said, that was from the MBT, the Mike Bro translation, because that's the way I used to think. Till I actually read these real words of Scripture. So I'm going to ask, we'll put it on the screen, all of our campuses together. We're going to read these words out loud together. You guys up for that? Let's read this together out loud. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that one sound so much better? Don't be anxious about anything. Instead, bring it to God, whatever it is, and do it. Did you catch this? With thanksgiving in your heart. If you do that, His incredible peace, which defies human explanation, it will settle you down and protect your heart and mind and give you the kind of calm that only Jesus can give you. Those verses were verses that made it onto my refrigerator door, my bathroom mirror, the dashboard of my car. There was a screensaver on my computer back when you had those things. It made it into the recesses of my heart several years ago during the most intensely stressful time of my life. The word that's used in that passage for anxious, it literally means to be pulled in different directions. That describe anybody else? It certainly described me at the time. I had so much going on. I was trying to transition and lead a growing church. We had people coming from all over the place, and we were out of space, and we were in the middle of a building program. We were trying to staff to help people, and I was trying to pastor, and I was trying to teach, and I was trying to counsel with people. I was trying to inspire people. I was trying to lead our staff well. On top of that, I was just trying my best to make a difference in our community. I was trying to be a great husband, trying to be a great dad. I was trying to teach two kids how to drive a car. I was coaching basketball. I mean, it was a crazy season. I felt like those one of those plate spinners in the circus. Remember those guys? They would get one going, da 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 da. That's what I felt like. I had a lot going on, and I had so much anxiety piling up in my life. And added to all of that came a season I was not prepared for at all. It's that season when the parent becomes the child and the child becomes the parent. My parents were a little older when they had me, and I was an only kid. So I became the primary caregiver for both my parents during a very challenging time. I think I may have told you before about my dad, who had bipolar disorder, and he just decided he was going to stop taking his meds and go out in a blaze of glory. And man, he was out of control in every imaginable way. And at the same time, as I was chasing him all around town, cleaning up his messes, my mom had Alzheimer's. And it was super challenging. It was beyond challenging. And then one day, my dad suddenly passed away of a heart attack, and I became, you know, power of attorney and uncovering surprises and trying to figure things out. I mean, it was just a lot. So I can't tell you how much these particular verses of Scripture meant to me. Like I said, I had them plastered all over the place, and I started to see them all the time. But I also started to put them into practice. I had to humble myself and ask for help. I had to take this plate and hand it to this person, take this plate and hand it to this person, take this plate, hand it to this person. I found out they were better at doing it than I was anyway. And to be honest, I had to let some plates just drop because in reality, I shouldn't have been spinning them in the first place. And I started leaning into God like never before. I talked to him all the time. And I found that the key in this verse was the with thanksgiving in your heart part. So instead of whining and complaining and living with this why me victim mentality, I started intentionally practicing gratitude. There's another passage in Philippians 4 that really spoke to me a lot too. It's when Paul said, I have learned to be content in any and every situation. Which made me think, how do you learn that? How do you learn anything? You practice, right? It was like the old story of a guy that stops a guy in New York City. He says, excuse me, sir, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? He said, practice, 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 right? Same guy stops another guy in Nashville, Tennessee. He says, excuse me, sir, how do you get to the Grand Ole Opry? He said, sing through your nose. Sorry for all you country music fans. But what I'm saying is you get proficient at anything by practicing. I mean, I look back at my life. I look back at my jump shot. I look back at my golf swing. I look back at my guitar skills and often wonder, what would it have been like if I would have just practiced more? If you want to get good at anything, you got to practice. So it makes sense that if you want to learn contentment, you got to practice gratitude. You got to practice gratitude. So during that stressful time of my life, I started practicing. I noticed that I was pretty good at the talk to God about it part, but I wasn't very good at coming with thanksgiving in my heart. So I started practicing gratitude. I started slowing down, started noticing little things that God was doing all around me throughout the day. I started counting up all my blessings, even started writing them down. I would sit down and I would make lists of just things that would pop in my head, random things. Anything that would pop in my head, I would just write it down. Any good gift that I felt God had given me, and I would sit down sometimes, I'd just write down sunsets, pepperoni, puppies, putting your underwear on straight out of the dryer, whatever came to my mind, I would just write it down. And I started for the first time in my life writing my prayers down. And I tried to do it in such a way that I wasn't asking God for anything. I did plenty of that, but in these, when I sit down and write, I just wanted to get real intentional about practicing gratitude, so I would just write prayers that were just thanksgiving prayers. And I'd write them in this old spiral notebook that I kept. And I dug this one out. We were living in Kentucky at the time. And I sat down one morning on the back porch, and this is what I wrote. I thank you, God, for my family. Thanks for my friends. For the horses in the pasture over there. Thanks for the way the fog lies in the valleys. Thanks for the brilliance of the changing leaves. Thanks for the song in my heart. Thanks for being a safe place to run when life sucks. Thanks for the chocolate ice cream all over Hayden's face last night and the joy all my kids bring me. Thanks for the wagging of my dog's tail. Thanks for the unconditional love he has for me. Thanks for the way Debbie ignores the little things I do that have to drive her crazy and the contagious joy she brings to my life. Thanks for trucks that sit up high and for nail guns and for the health to do manual labor, and for Advil and the hot tub after the manual labor. Thank you that I was born into the family of a confused mom and a bipolar dad. Thanks for their sacrifice and the way they just tried to do their best. Thanks for the lessons I've learned. Thanks for the lessons I'm learning. Thanks for the privilege of caring for them and the energy to pull all this off. Thanks for the honor of being a son, husband, a dad, and now a granddad. Thanks that I get to do this with my life. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your unexplainable peace. Thank you for the unforgettable gift of Jesus, who by his death and resurrection has made this morning just one of trillions for me. Just every day I tried to thank him for something in my life. I quit just talking about it in sermons. And I started practicing gratitude. I started really dependent upon him for everything. I started trusting his heart for me. I started trusting his bigger wisdom and his deeper love. I started living in the awareness of his 24/7 presence in my life. And even though it was one of the toughest times in my life, I can tell you that my fear and anxiety went away. And I experienced more joy and more peace and more contentment than ever before in my life. And if you've experienced it too, you know. You can't even explain it to people. It does transcend all human understanding. It just kind of comes and wraps you up like a warm, soft blanket on a cold night. It kind of takes your heart rate from like, you know, head-banging heavy metal to smooth jazz. It's what it does. Sometimes people will ask me, say, bro, I'm trying to figure out God's will for my life. I can't figure it out. What is God's will for my life? And I'm trying to figure out his plan. I just want to know God's will. I will often point them to this verse. It's a verse you might remember from last week that Chip shared. So, oh, God's will, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I go, come on, dude, I know all that. I'm trying to figure out what is God's will for my life. I'll say, oh, sorry, man, I totally misunderstood you. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life, to live your life with a heart full of gratitude. I like what Henry Nouwen writes about gratitude. He says, to be grateful for all the good things that happen in our lives is easy, but to be grateful for all of our lives, the good as well as the bad, the moments of joy as well as the moments of sorrow, the successes as well as the failures, the rewards as well as the rejections, well, that requires hard spiritual work. He's talking about practice. Still, we are only grateful people when we can say thank you to all that has brought us to the present moment. As long as we keep dividing our lives between the events and people we would like to forget, we cannot claim the fullness of our beings as a gift from God to be grateful for. Let's not be afraid to look at everything that has brought us to where we are now, and trust that we will soon see it in the guiding hand of a loving God. You see, peace, by the world's definition, is the absence of conflict. But God's definition, it's confidence and contentment and calm right in the middle of the conflict. Look at what Jesus, the one called the Prince of Peace, look what he said to a group of stressed out followers one day. He says, listen, guys, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world can't give. So don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. To the same group, he said these words in John 16. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials. You will have a lot of sorrow, but take heart because I've overcome the world. He said to these stressed out guys, listen, guys, you just need to chill because your Father's got this. He's got your past. He's got your future. And right now, he's got your back. No matter what this world might throw at you, just know that I am the Prince of Peace. And the peace that I give is calm in the middle of a conflict. It's in the middle of your trials. It's in the middle of your trouble. It's in the middle of your sorrows. It's real and it's unexplainable and it's amazingly available to anybody who wants it. So don't be afraid. Live your life full of trust and gratitude. We're heading into Thanksgiving week. And I thought it might be appropriate today just to give you some time to slow down, recalibrate your heart, kind of soak in the wonder of all that God has done in your life and around this world. I mean, we do get intimidated by all the flat screens tuned to bad news that we see. But I want you to see some images from a guy named Louis Schwartzberg, who is an incredible time-lapse photographer. I mean, these are stunning images. But more importantly, as you're letting these images kind of wash over you, I want you to listen as a 90-year-old man talks about the power of gratitude.
You think this is just another day in your life? it's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's given to you. It's a gift. It's the only gift that you have right now. And the only appropriate response is gratefulness. If you do nothing else but to cultivate that response to the great gift that this unique day is, if you learn to respond as if it were the first day in your life and the very last day, then you will have spent this day very well. Begin by opening your eyes and be surprised that you have eyes you can open. That incredible array of colors that is constantly offered to us for pure enjoyment. Look at the sky. We so rarely look at the sky. We so rarely note how different it is from moment to moment with clouds coming and going. We just think of the weather. And even of the weather, we don't think of all the many nuances of weather. We just think of good weather and bad weather. This day, right now, it's unique weather. Maybe a kind that will never exactly in that form come again. The formation of clouds in the sky will never be the same that is right now. Open your eyes, look at that. Look at the faces of people whom you meet. Each one has an incredible story behind their face, a story that you could never fully fathom. Not only their own story, but the story of their ancestors. We all go back so far. And in this present moment, on this day, all the people you meet, all that life from generations and from so many places all over the world flows together and meets you here like a life-giving water if you only open your heart and drink. Open your heart to the incredible gifts that civilization gives to us. You flip a switch and there is electric light. You turn a faucet and there is warm water and cold water and drinkable water. It's a gift that millions and millions in the world will never experience. So these are just a few of an enormous number of gifts to which we can open your heart. And so I wish you that you will open your heart to all these blessings and let them flow through you, that everyone whom you will meet on this day will be blessed by you. Just by your eyes, by your smile, by your touch, just by your presence. Let the gratefulness overflow into blessing all around you. And then it will really be a good day.
We have been so blessed, haven't we? I just want to challenge you to open your eyes, open your heart, and see what God has done. Debbie and I, we have three kids, and our first child, Jody, took 36 hours of labor to get into this world. It was a hard day. I was exhausted. Of course, Debbie went through a whole lot. And that was back in the day where everybody took Lamaze classes. You remember those things? Where you learned these breathing exercises and you had a focal point. And all I remember about those 36 hours was how rough it was on Deb. And I would just, by her side, you know, every, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes, just saying, come on, just focus and breathe, focus and breathe. And one of the things she chose for a focal point was a really cool picture of Jesus that we had in our house. So we took it off the wall and set it on top of the dresser there in the labor room. And I would just, you know, do the breathing stuff with her and go, come on, focus and breathe, focus and breathe, focus and breathe. You know, Jesus told us that in this life we would have trouble, that there would be earthquakes and famine and persecution. There would be tsunamis and hurricanes and tornadoes and the likes, wildfires. He said there would be rumors of war and war. There'd be people that rise to power and people that fall away. He said, but don't stress out. I have overcome the world. Just focus and breathe. Focus and breathe. Focus and breathe. So how about we do that? What do you say we not worry about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving in our heart, just give all that stuff to God and let His peace that transcends all human understanding guard our hearts and our minds. You see, you may have a very small heart, but it's capable of holding a rather large amount of gratitude. And it's a game changer for your life. We're going to respond back to God right now at all of our campuses just to tell Him how grateful we are. And we're going to sing a song together that was written from the passage that I shared today. And as we sing this song at all of our campuses, I pray that your heart would swell up with gratitude. Or maybe today you have a need in your life. You have something you really need to pray about. Maybe today is the day just to bring it and say, you know what? I got to just talk to somebody about this. I got to pray with someone. I got to talk to God about it. Would you talk to God with me about this? Some great people will be down front at all of our campuses while we're singing this song. You just make your way down front. We'd love to pray with you before you leave today. So let's pray before we do all that. Father, we are so, so grateful for what you've done in our lives, the little things we look around and notice. And I pray this week as we head toward Thanksgiving would be one of those defining moments in our life, maybe even right now in this room. So we would just say, yeah, I need to practice gratitude. God, I know personally how that just changes your life. What power it holds. God, thank you for the wisdom to tell us that. So, Lord, right now in this moment, we want to express our gratitude back to you. We want to declare that some things are true about you and about us and how much we need you. During the next few moments, we just want to look up and say, God, you are the Prince of Peace, and that's what we want in our life. So grateful. God, I pray that it wouldn't just be for this Thanksgiving week, but this would become a lifestyle, that Thanksgiving would kind of become Thanksliving, and that's the way we would approach our life every day. God, I pray that for all of us, and I pray it in Jesus' name.